Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. I'm filling in for Greg Lancaster today, and joining with me is the one and only, the man who doesn't have a Saints shirt on today.
No, I don't.
Pat Hamilton.
Hello, John.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. A little chilly. My fingers are numb, chilly. But yeah, I'm pretty good.
I see that. Got your sweatshirt on. Very nice and warm looking there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice and bright.
Well, I do want to give some shout-outs this morning. I want to give a shout-out to Pastor Brett and Sharon in Colorado. Let me tell you, I bet they are experiencing some chill right now. But sure love those guys. I want to give a shout-out to Tony Tone. Tony the man.
Oh, yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to Tony. And, man, just so proud of what God's doing in your life, man. It's just so awesome. Juan, oh, my goodness. I got your post, man. You are an encourager. And it's just so good to see what the Lord is doing. And Ayana and, oh, my goodness, Miss Carolyn and Robert. It's just so many cool and exciting things that are happening. I do want to welcome all of our new VFN radio listeners joining us every single day. I do want to give a shout-out to Phyllis and Rebecca and Emmanuel and Peggy and Michael and John and Tim and Alan and Bob. Oh, my goodness, Matt, Lord, Randall, Clay. Every day, dude, this is just amazing.
Amazing, isn't it? Beautiful.
All over the country, all over the world. I mean, coast to coast. This is just so cool.
It is, isn't it?
Well, we just want to thank you for joining us in this conversation that we're having. We're here to encourage you and to enlighten and illuminate. Just my goodness, we're an encouraging word to you today. You know, we are just, Pat, we have turned the corner. We are now just 12 days away.
Yeah.
From celebrating Christmas.
Yes. Isn't that awesome?
Jesus' birth.
Absolutely.
Yes, you know. Kids are excited, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just an exciting time. And it's always wonderful to be able to celebrate the Lord's birth. But, you know, there is a song that they sing. There is a song, mm-hmm. 12 Days of Christmas. Remember that song?
Which version?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of versions, you know.
Yeah.
But you know,
the original?
Yeah, like My True Love Gave to Me.
Yes, you know that? Yes. Five Golden Rings. Yeah, I remember that one.
Five Golden Rings and Two Stinking Boots, right?
No. I think that was a different version.
That's a different version. Well, you know that if you added all those things up today, mm-hmm. today, it is reported that that would cost $107,000.
for what? All those items?
All those items. What was it? Boots and Hummingbird or... I don't know the song.
Partridge and a Pear Tree.
Yeah, you go. Partridge and a Pear Tree. I bet the partridge alone is a little costly there, but I thought that was actually very interesting. I don't know if his true love will be getting all those things this year, but...
No, you're loaded.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't
look at these fancy hats you wear all the time, and you've got to have something going on.
This Christmas, I am going to bless you. When I see you in January, I am going to bless you with one of these.
I cannot wait. Make sure it says Kango on the back so I can flip it around.
Listen, not only are we going to take a picture of you, you're not only going to get you this hat, but we're going to take a picture of you with this hat so we can share with everyone. I mean, we have to make this available on the torch somehow. I don't know. Maybe we can put this on Facebook. But we have to give you a little swag, as they say. We got to give you a little hat or something. Help you out because the gel there, just mess that whole thing up there.
All right.
Well, you know, I found something out that you may be interested in today.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there was just Tuesday, Indiana high school girls team played against.
What kind of team is this?
Basketball.
Basketball, okay.
They played against. Team called Arlington.
Uh-huh.
And the score was 107-2.
Oh my God, I saw that.
Did you see that?
I didn't see the game. I just saw the score. That's horrific.
Get this. I mean, this was like a romping. Okay, I mean,
they let them finish the game. That's terrible.
This is high school. I mean,
I should have called it in the first quarter. That's terrible.
Exactly. No, but this is what the coach says.
Okay.
This is just gets me. I didn't tell my girls to stop shooting because that would have been more embarrassing. We're not trying to embarrass them or run up the score. It's like,
right.
I was explaining to my wife. She goes, "Well, what would you do?" I said, "Well, it's kind of like good sportsmanship when you're playing a sport, and you know that one team is overmatching the other. Even professionals know this, that you don't want to embarrass the other team because everyone's coming out there to put their best effort, their best game out there.
Right.
And especially when you got young children and they're developing in their sports and they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
Common courtesy, really sportsmanship. You don't want to embarrass the young person who's committed to practices and training
this
game.
But at least put the backups in.
Yeah, you put your backups, your less starters, the ones that are just growing. If you see that you're overpowered, you're going to win.
Like put all the freshmen in or whatever.
Yeah, call your freshmen in. If it's a blowout.
That's what I'm saying.
You call the game. You say, hey, let's just end this and, you know.
Well, that works in T-ball, you know, just they don't get demoralized. But yeah, basketball, like, they, you know, they got the best one to get the bench for. You know, they start putting in the subs in when it gets out of hand like that. That's crazy.
But
now, if the subs were in and that was still the score, then, oh, well.
Well, you want to call it. I mean, you don't want to run up the score. You know, it's like, my goodness, if you're on the other team, and the only 2 points they scored were
free throws.
Yeah, free throws.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah,
those poor girls.
It's pretty tough. But we want to talk about.
Did you know an actual freshman won the Heisman Trophy not too long ago? Just a few days ago. Did you know that?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Very amazing.
Like they call him what? Johnny Football or something like that?
I don't know. I forget where he's from. Texas, I think.
Yeah.
But he sure did.
Yeah.
And then first time that's ever been done.
Ever.
Not the youngest.
First ever.
Yeah. Not the youngest, but definitely. I mean, not the youngest, but definitely the first freshman. I think Tebow would have been the youngest, the earliest as a sophomore.
He was a sophomore when he won it. But he wasn't the first. The other sophomores won it. Like, maybe only other one, maybe.
Yeah, amazing. He's won it twice, hasn't he?
Who?
Tebow?
No, he only won it once, but he won two championships.
Right. Well, you know, we talk about sportsmanship, a good sportsmanship. But I recommend, you know, if you have grandchildren, you have children, you get them involved in sports. Get them involved in activities out there that are going to help them to develop good character and good discipline. I mean, I'm just encouraged. I know that your son plays sport as well, but I'm encouraged when – you know, my boys are – baseball has really been just an awesome thing for them because just, you think about it. I've had so many opportunities to spend time more time with them and so many teaching moments.
Yeah.
It's just really incredible. They learn so much about discipline, achieving, working hard, going on the stretch, giving everything you have. And it's really cool.
Yeah, my son, he's played a lot of different things. He played T-ball, he played flag football last year. That was a lot of fun. What's that?
They won the championship too, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of started off kind of rough at the beginning, so I was like, oh man, this is not going to be good. But then they ended up, they got a lot better, you know, as the team progressed, and as the season progressed, and at the very end, man, I mean, that championship game was unbelievable.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, matter of fact, Jonathan scored his very first touchdown in that game. It was beautiful.
That's so cool.
Oh yeah. It's beautiful. I went crazy. I was one of those lunatic parents screaming and hollering.
Well, think about it. You know, when you're living right now in a time where there's so much just junk on the television screens, let me tell you, get them off that television and get them out there playing sports and throwing the ball around and running and exercising.
Yeah.
But sports is a great way. I mean, they learn integrity, too. You can teach them really a whole bunch about integrity. Right.
Good sportsmanship, not having a bad attitude when you lose.
Absolutely. And working through things. So many kids give up. I remember when Elijah first started baseball, he wasn't really all that good when he first started. You know, he admits it today, you know, but he really had a rough time in the beginning. But he just stuck with it. I just encouraged him, stick with it.
Yeah.
And before you know it, it just clicked. And he's hitting bombs out there and just making great plays.
Oh,
and
wow.
just just to see him light up, you know, something that he was able mm-hmm. to overcome, I thought, wow, that's just priceless. You know, I remember one time we had the opportunity to actually go to a professional game and buy tickets. Mm-hmm. And I said, we can't go because you actually have a game yourself that day, and it wouldn't work out. We can't get into the city and just make it enough time. So he played his game. We come later that night and turn on the end of the ball game, come to find out that the game that we could have went to, but not really because he had a game, but we had a chance to go to, the pitcher is throwing a no-hitter. And this is like a remarkable feat. Oh, wow. In fact, our team has never done that in 50 years, okay? This is the first time
they've been playing that long. Good grief.
Yeah. 50 years, it's never happened for the team that we root for, the Mets, the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, the guy pitches a no-hitter. He does it. It was just huge, you know? Oh, wow. And he says, oh, Dad, we could have been at that game. We could have been at that game. Mm-hmm. I said, no, son. Remember, we couldn't have. You had a game. How? So then he says, well, you know, we could have missed it. I said, well, let's think about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, wouldn't you be letting your coach down and your teammates down? Didn't you give your word that you were gonna play ball?
Right. That's right.
You know, didn't you? And he says, yeah, I guess you're right. I says, well, you know, that's what integrity is sometimes. You got to make the right decisions, even though it's going to cost you.
Yeah, got to suck it up. That's good.
But you got to do the right thing. And it was just an amazing teaching moment, you know, for him in that area. So he really says, yeah, I guess you're right, Dad. Something we got to do.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Jonathan, he's just not sports, but he, for some reason, decided he wanted to play the violin.
Well,
yeah. I said, I tried to talk him out of it just because it's very difficult. It's not something that you just, you know, like very picking up a football and just start chunking it. You know, this takes a lot of work. I explained to him how difficult it would be. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you pray about it because if you do start this thing, you're not going to quit.
That's
you're
going
to go all the way to the end until it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, you pray about it and you come back tomorrow, the next day, you let me know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to think about it long and hard. So he did. He prayed about it. He came back, and he decided he still wanted to do it.
Wow.
So he's been doing it all school year. Been playing the violin.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that is excellent.
Yeah, I think end of the year they're going to do some type of concert or something.
Wow, I actually tried that once when I was probably a little younger than he did.
Oh, really?
I said, oh, no. They say that in order for someone to be a really good violinist, they need to start at a very, very young age.
Like,
like starting at, because it just takes a lot of skill and patience. But
yeah,
that's great. Yeah, Isaiah's playing the drums too, and it's like, okay, told him same conversation. Yeah, well, we have a pad, not an actual drum set. So I said, okay, you can beat that pad all you want, but we'll have to think about this drum set first once you prove.
Right.
But that's what really is what the kids need these days. They need to be able to stick things out and write things out. Listen, we're losing a generation right now that wants everything, you know, microwave.
Right now, yeah.
Wants everything quick. If you can't, you know, send a text and it's not moving fast enough, you get upset. If the app's not downloading fast enough, you get upset. Mm-hmm. And something about sports that gets them moving. Something, you know, not only physically. But let me tell you something. A lot of these games are—it's critical thinking. There's a lot of thinking, especially as they advance. Let me tell you something. These football players are not—they're very intelligent. You have to memorize a playbook for a football player is enormous.
It's a manual.
It's like the size of it's like an old phone book. You know, we don't use phone books anymore. But a playbook is huge, and they have to memorize these plays.
Mm-hmm. Not just their position; everybody else's too.
Exactly. And you know, you always have to be thinking, especially like in baseball, you have to be thinking, what would you do if the ball gets hit and, you know, in your area and that type of stuff. But anyway, we're just thinking about this sportsmanship thing on this high school girls team. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, they ran up the score. They ran up
poor
the
girls.
Score.
Oh, my God.
On these poor girls team. And I'm telling you, they get real competitive. But not that you're, you know anything about competition, Pat, competitiveness.
Gone are those days.
Gone are those days. Well, if you haven't tuned in, if you haven't tuned in lately, you know, we have been doing a citizenship game, and I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make sure to watch and listen to the highlights soon, though. Soon one day, VFN TV. Listen to the highlights at the Torch. You can go find the Torch at VFNTV.com. And now, would you believe, Pat, we have had a total of seven series. Mm. We are playing kind of like a Jeopardy-based type of game here, where Greg's doing the moderating, and Pat and myself are the contestants. Trying to answer the questions, but we've been answering five questions at a time. And these are the questions that people who want to become citizens of the United States of America will have to take on the citizenship test. Mm-hmm. And it's really great because we're getting an opportunity to learn and relearn some things that maybe we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And listen, if someone wants to become a citizen, they have to learn these things. My goodness, wouldn't it be good if all Americans, wouldn't it be good if the Congress actually knew?
Hello, yeah.
What was on this test?
Exactly.
So we have them all linked together. So if you go to the latest and go to the Torch in the right hand corner and type in citizenship, you'll find the latest one. And then attached to that and related articles, you'll see all the previous segments and all the questions. And go ahead and see if you can do well on the exam yourself. See how you'll test. But you'll be learning right along with us. Speaking about yesterday's program, if you didn't get a chance, we really had a phenomenal program, and there's a lot of great things that we talked about. I know we had a great segment, and a lot of people on Facebook are sharing this, by the way. But there's a segment that Greg shared about, where reckless words pierce like a sword. Mm. And it's just so important, because so many times, you know, you wisdom is so godly wisdom, such a wonderful thing. So many times you can spew out words. Mm-hmm. You know, and not realize what in the world you're saying, and not know, you know, that what you say can be damaging. And God wants us to grow in wisdom and realize, listen, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Mm-hmm. And even though that those words can come flying out, let me tell you something, reckless words can do a lot of damage to a lot of people. So we need to have wisdom, have some restraint, some self-control. Mm-hmm. And really have some, you know, the fruit of the Spirit flowing in our life, because you don't want to be like a reckless sword. There's an interesting picture there. You got to see it on the Torch, but there's an interesting picture, some daggers flying out. But it kind of proves the point. Yeah, it kind of proves the point there of how damaging these words can be. It's a woman talking and these daggers are flying out of there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can check that out. Wow.
Intense, isn't it?
Yeah, that's intense.
But we also talked about life like a monopoly. And that was so good, because you're seeing so many things happening, and we're probably gonna get a chance to talk about this later in the extra hour. But that, listen, right now the federal government's borrowing 46 cents out of every dollar spent. Mm. I mean, how long can the average American household survive? Think about this. I mean, I don't, you know, this should be, think about this.
I don't have to think too hard.
How could an average family survive borrowing half of what they... How long is that going to last?
Not long.
And if they do, their credit rating gets hammered. Yeah. They're limited in what they're able to spend and what they're able to do in the future in terms of buying homes and mm-hmm. buying cars and all those type of things. But the same rules, imagine that, do not apply to the federal government. And they just keep spending and spending and spending and spending and spending. And listen, mm-hmm. at some point, you know, this is insane. We can't mortgage our future. And then you have a third, you know, you have a communist country like China mm-hmm. who's buying up all our debts and buying up companies like a battery company mm-hmm. that we bailed out.
Yeah.
Think of this is not going to, this is not making sense. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour about what we can do. As believers, you hear about all this looming fiscal cliff. You're talking about the economy. You're looking at the Federal Reserve now, getting ready to spend even more money a month. We will talk about that.
Oh my goodness!
It just happened Wednesday. Just happened yesterday. This is nuts. But what is the believer to do? But before we do that, we want to journey back a little bit in our segment. We're going to go to a break. When we come back from our break, we are going to talk about some of our founding fathers and in our original 10 of America. We're going to journey back and look back at the life and the leadership of our first president. This is what the country needs right now. It needs leadership. It needs leadership. And we're going to look at some of the founding fathers. We'll look at George Washington and saw how he led during times of crisis. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you felt like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to Him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Fine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. I think about that. Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow,
think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them. Where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I was going to ask you to tell us about the whole doctor's visit. You can totally remind you what
happened. Thanks. The Well, you know, I went to get a my checkup, you know, from my doctor, and it's just so cool to have somebody that really cares about you, you know,
yes,
that does like your car tune up on your car,
yeah, right,
you know, kind of checks the oil and checks the under the hood and all that. And anyway, so that
tell us
anyway. Well, not that anyway. So the but you start talking to your doctor, and you feel like, dude, I sound like a whiner. I'm like, I'm not used to bringing up negative things, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, talk about yourself. As a believer, you're not like, you shouldn't be. Right. Of course, you have those people you say, how are you doing? They start with their head, and they work their way all the way to their toes.
Yeah, right.
And at some point around the elbow, you're trying to make a beeline for it, right? Well, my old sacroiliac thing, you know, anyways.
So, I'm just your medical doctor here.
Yeah. And so he's just a real cool dude. And so I'm talking to him, you know, and I get a great report. I get a wonderful report, you know, because I got a negative report, you know, at one particular time back in June, I think, or June or July.
Mm-hmm.
And we just believe God, you know, for a good report. And he gave me a total bill of health, and everything was totally healthy.
Wow.
All my my bloods and all that stuff was just a bill of health.
Praise
and,
God.
Yeah, and he says, what?
Okay, how can, you know, when you first got the first report, I mean, you probably can empathize with a lot of people.
Yeah, you get a report. Sometimes you get a report. And they tell you, you know, hey, we see something, you know, and then they start trying to tell you what they think it might be.
Right.
Oh, great.
And then you got to decide, am I going to believe the report of God, the Lord? Or am I going to believe the report of, you know, doctors and people and all that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I chose to believe the report of the Lord.
You know?
And he says, by his stripes, I am healed. And that when I do go back, you know, to the doctor after a lot of check, they did a lot of checking and stuff, then it's going to be good, you know. And they did a lot of checking and x-rays and all that different stuff like that. And they come back and they say, there ain't nothing there. You are totally healthy and whole and everything's fine.
Awesome.
And God totally... as completely 100%, you know, blessed me with a whole body. But he did say he has three very important things to tell me that I need to do. And so, you know, I mean, I'm leaning forward with my Franklin. No. And, and I said, well, what? He says, lose weight.
lose weight, lose weight. And I'm like, you're no longer my friend. You know, so then I'm thinking, he's right. He's absolutely right. And skinny. No, anyway, he's right. And because he cares about me. Sure. And so I thought, well, okay, all right, okay. This is the challenge. And so then he says, well, I need you to lose a significant amount of weight.
Oh, wow.
So, but he gave me 6 months to do it. So I just want to encourage everybody to pray with me and believe with me, because Pat and I are going to have fun. we're going to begin to jog. Six pack. Oh yeah, it's padded. We're going to, begin early, about 4 a.m. regimen. You can hear him now. Ow, 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 ow. You can hear
better. Oh my God.
I got to put my earbuds in so I can hear it. And we're going to do early morning regimen. And this is my challenge. This is my challenge to me. And you can join if you want to. I am going by, he's writing it down. This is just humor. This is humor.
Oh, I'm going to remember this.
This is humor.
And I'm helping you.
Sometime in the future. Well, he gave me 6 months.
6 months.
He gave me 6 months. It's just 6 months. He gave me 6 months. I'm gonna lose
February,
20 pounds.
That's it?
How many?
He's like that. Hey, dude, I won't be hard and left. I'll lose 20 pounds.
That's not what I meant.
No, he looks at me like, that's all? He didn't tell you to lose more? He didn't tell you to lose more than that? I'm thinking, thank you. My first public confession, I'm going to need to lose weight. And he looks at me like, that. Do you think if I lose 20 pounds, man?
No, I was just saying, that's achievable.
You won't be able to see me. I'll turn sideways and disappear.
That's not a huge amount. That's good.
Yeah,
you can knock that out in a week.
That's not a huge amount, right? We're going to weigh him in, too.
You just let me know how he's doing at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I can tell you what he's doing.
Yeah, I think you're going to join us, bub.
He's going to. Yeah, that's right, man. You can do that. As a matter of fact, we want to challenge all of our listeners. We're going to lose 20 pounds.
We now?
Right.
I ain't going to the doctor.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, let me see. Yeah, John, you too. You know, and, well, if you grow some hair, you might camouflage it.
Hey, I cut the hair off so I could, you know, look slimmer there.
It does work. It really works. Maybe, no, I can't. My head's not like that round. Anyway, so, you know, some people have a head that you can shave, and some people have a head that you should not shave. You need as much camouflage on as possible. But yeah, 20 pounds. So I'm, before everybody, and, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, he's right. You know, I want to be strong. I want to be, have energy to do what God's called us to do.
Yep.
And even though it's a spiritual battle, this body's got to keep going to go. And it's like, it gets tired easy.
Yeah, really.
Yes, it does.
Man, I'm throwing the ball yesterday with my boy and I'm like, okay.
Well, basketball. Goodness.
That's a sport I don't even look at.
That is crazy. You want to get your cardiovascular
on. Oh my gosh.
If you want your heart to pick up, I mean, don't play a game with nobody. Just dribble the ball and shoot it.
Please.
I remember years ago when I was playing a basketball game, and I would just untie my shoe. My shoe's untied.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah. I tied that shoe. I don't know how many times I tied that shoe. I'm like, I'm going to die.
But he's kicked the shoes off. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Give him some Velcro sneakers or something.
Yeah, I need that or a padded room. Then I remember the racquetball. I mean, if you can play racquetball the whole game, I mean, you are amazing shape. I mean, you are amazing shape.
I can't believe I used to do all that stuff.
I know, isn't that amazing?
All that.
Now he gasps for air when he picks over his pen.
Baseball, guys. Sure, I'm telling you, baseball.
Yeah, you just kind of stand there and wait for the ball to come your way.
You're just standing around. What are you talking about?
Come on, man. Hey,
that's the slowest game.
Last 9 innings, man. You can last 9 innings.
That's the slowest.
Oh, you're saying, okay.
The slowest game, you know. And
golf is the slowest game. Baseball is wonderful.
Well, you got several golfers moving, but you got to wait for the batter to come up, and they go, you're leaning forward, you're waiting, go, strike. It's like, oh my gosh. It's like, oh my gosh. How many innings are there? How many innings is like, I know this is an American sport, apple pie, shovel days, and baseball,
and
but
baseball.
It's like, I know, I don't know what happened, but you would think it'd be football, you know, and yeah. I got, you know.
Well, it is the most popular sport in America.
It really, maybe it's because everybody can play
except me. Football.
Oh, football. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh,
really?
My goodness.
Are you sure about that?
Positive.
But it's just so long. I walked into the Apple store in Nashville and I listened to all their excuses for not being able to print from an iPad. You know, all their.
Are you serious?
Yeah, just listen.
Why
listen,
is there
listen.
A print function on it?
Because there's some.
They have a marriage.
It's like
they've
one
married,
day we're going to like.
They
this
married
thing work.
Hewlett Packard. They married Hewlett Packard and they had. And they didn't care about their children. So the marriage happened and all of a sudden now you have these all these. Children trying to find their way to a printer somewhere, and they're having flash issues, you know, with all that. Anyway, this guy, I mean, he is my kind of communicator. I mean, he came up to me, and we talked about 300 miles an hour. Well, actually, I talked to the one clerk. He goes, "You need to go talk to whatever his name was."
Right.
All right.
And he watched us talk, and we talked maybe I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, but we covered everything. About the past, present, and future, all the apps, what's going to go on, what's going to happen.
Love it.
And I walked out, and I'm thinking, oh, man, that is so nice. You know, we got that much accomplished. You know, I don't want to spend my life talking about electronics, so let's just figure out what we got to do and move on.
Right.
Right.
And, but, no, that same personality sitting waiting for somebody to hit the ball in a baseball game is like, come on, dance around the plate or something. Come on.
Right.
You know, it's just a little bit slower, you know, for me. And,
we'll
I guess
let you play basketball, run up and down the court. That's not a problem. We'll go get you back into basketball.
No, I'll go watch the game.
Wonderful, wonderful. My goodness, our producer does such a wonderful job. Oh, I just love Christmas time and just remembering. My goodness, listen, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. I had a fantastic segment on the torch. You can't miss that. But then we will be talking more about keeping Christ in Christmas this year and some of the things that you could do. But before we come to the end of our first hour, we do want to remember George Washington. Listen, what we need right now in our nation, what we need across the world, we need leadership. We need leaders that are willing to stand, make tough decisions, and do, especially in Washington, what we, the people, have elected them to do. Get the job done. And so listen up and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this.
This is the original tent of America. I was reading this book called Being George Washington. His author is Glenn Beck, and he seems to really have a tap in on the news and what's taking place in regards to, you know, information and delving into things. There's this huge research thing going on. But still with that, you know, our history books are being taken away from us. You know, what actually happened in history? You know, what took place? And so he wrote this book called Being George Washington, and it takes history, but he puts you in history itself when you're actually reading it. And it was just very encouraging. You get a chance that you want to get it and read it because you just want to know about General George Washington and that, you know, America just didn't just happen. I mean, somebody stood up and said what's presently happening is not right. You know, they're trying to restrain us from having freedom and living a free life to be able to worship God and to have, a government by the people and for the people, a Republican. So General George Washington, which was the first president eventually, you know, President George Washington, that there came a time, you know, you think about it, you know, Pastor Steve's going to Pennsylvania to plant a VF in Pittsburgh there. And, that this battle that I'm talking about right now, the battle that General George Washington was actually fighting, was in Pennsylvania. He actually had lost a lot of them. He's lost a lot of battles. He's not, you know, we have all these ideas and concepts and things going on in our head, but the truth is the truth. And what happened was, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you lose. It matters, did you win the right one? Did you win the one that kind of clicked it over, you know, and took it to the next level? And he was at this particular point, and the troops had already, this is original tent of America we're talking about, that it's snowing. the soldiers, you know, which are more of a Minutemen type, ragtag type clothes, and they weren't paying them well. George Washington was making sure they were getting paid, but he had to fight for it, and we'll talk more about that in the future maybe. But the it was time their 2-year enlistment was up, and they're starting to go back. And he knew that he had the next battle was going to be very, very important as they marched to Trenton, you know, Trenton, New Jersey. And so they were going to march from Pennsylvania up, but he knew that if the troops didn't go with him, then it's not going to happen, especially when you have all these defeats that happened prior to that. And so he looks at these guys, you know, and in one of the letters, was written to at that particular time to understand it. Letter was written to about the whole situation at the time, and they're in Pennsylvania. And he says, talking about George Washington's troops, he says, his troops were hungry. They were sick and cold. Many lacked basic clothing. One of Washington's officers described the march to Trenton this way. It is fearfully cold and raw, and a snowstorm is setting in. The wind beats in the faces of the men. It will be a terrible night for the soldiers who have no shoes. We got people licking shoes, Pat.
I know, right?
They're standing in line all night long to buy a piece of rubber fabricated material shoe, and unashamedly in front of the television cameras says, this is what we do. And he took his tongue. He took his tongue and he licked from the base of the sole to the top of the sole, and it says, this is what we do.
Yep.
For shoes. But the original tent, that wasn't the original tent. The original tent of our country, in that when it was not yet, you know, they were fighting for it, was the fact that they were willing to fight without shoes.
Right.
In the snow.
Barefoot.
In the snow. And with the concept of not even probably getting paid. And General George Washington was leading them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, how many people are complaining about the people that God is entrusted in your business and what you're doing, not realizing, listen, if you'll just lead them, if you'll lead right, because these guys were ready to quit. Their time was up. It was time for them to go back. I mean, dude, they didn't have no shoes. It's snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind's blowing against their faces, you know. I mean, it's kind of disheartening, you would think about, you know. And so then they go to, and General Washington looks at his troops, and he begins to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to encourage them. He begins to paint vision for them. And this is somebody that they've lost all these battles, you know. But he's encouraging them for this next battle ahead. And he talks to them, and he says, listen, you know, this is what we're fighting for. You forgot the vision. You forgot the purpose, you know. And at that moment, they could have left, but they didn't, mm-hmm. because George Washington, who we made our first president, and there's a reason why, because there was a hello, he's right. The man.
Right.
And so he talked these men, these soldiers, into staying barefoot, ragtag clothes, beyond their enlistment, you know, and to march in the snow to Trenton, to be able to fight a victorious battle, man.
Wow.
And he had such great leadership, great ability. Listen, when you're looking at your dollar bill and you see George Washington on there, don't let anybody fool you. This is a man that had the utmost integrity. I mean, he practiced the way he sat up. I mean, think about it. You know, he thought about how you present yourself. He was very patient. And so he goes and he fights these battles. And, you know, you know, he had one particular general that fought with him quite often. His name was Benedict Arnold, and they fought together. But you got to understand, one day they were you know, loyal to, you know, Great Britain, and one day they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're seeing people transition from, you know, from that, sometimes you never know if they're fully transitioned. We've seen a lot of that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, right?
You're like, are you still the British or are you American? Anyway, so then. And it was his close friend, but he found out down the road that Benedict Arnold had betrayed him. And that's why you hear about saying, you know, when they use the analogy that was like Benedict Arnold, it's called betrayal. Mm-hmm. Betrayal. And so he had to go through all that disheartening, all that brokenness. It's like, my friend, we fought battles together, successful battles, invested in the thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just, you know, Benedict Arnold just betrayed him and went back with the British and did all those different things. And so he had to make a decision. Wow. Is he gonna go back with the? And of course, if they went back to the British, they would have hung on. They would have beheaded everybody that was standing for what was right. And America today, as we know it, which hadn't yet formed yet, and so he's still mm-hmm. holding on to the idea of America. He's still holding on to the idea that that we can have a country of the people and by the people and for the people, and that we can come together not on the battlefield of weapons, but on the battlefield of ideas. And if we can come together in reason and send representation to a government that represents us, that they don't vice versa type thing going on now, that we can have a country like this, a country of freedom. And so he had to hold on to that idea when nobody was really believing in it much.
All right.
You know, we had 13 colonies that were here. They were all divided. They had their own money, their own currencies. They had their own little worlds going on. They were like 13 really different languages, if you would. They weren't like mm-hmm. different languages, but they just were, you know, I don't have time to worry about your colony because our colony. And so they weren't united at all. And so that was the fact to bringing them all together. And so he held on to this idea. He held on to this idea. He held on to this vision. He convinced the troops to do that. They marched in and they began to, because of the betrayal, and they had to be careful who they told. They went into and created a got a couple of his guys that got together, and he said, "You cannot tell anybody outside of this." And they went out to Long Island. This is their plan. We're going to go to mm-hmm. Long Island. We're going to set up like our big stoves and have the guys start building things. We're going to fight from there, mm-hmm. right? We're going right. to, and the British are going to look at that, and they're going to think, "Man, we got these guys. Let's just let them sit, cook for a while, and then we're going to go there and take them all." Mm-hmm. At the same time, he was strategizing to come a totally different way to defeat him, and the British fell for it. One man named George Washington was willing to, and he knew what he had to do at the time. He held the vision in his heart, and he held steadfast. He fooled them in thinking the battle was going to happen. That was just a fake, you know, mm-hmm. setup, you know.
Right.
And it's like Fort Pulaski up in Savannah, which was just there to cause people to be fearful of what's going on. But nothing ever happened at that fort. And so then he comes around and he broadsides them, and they win the battle. You know, wow. And it's just so cool the things that he did. The George Washington Bridge today, when you go, you're in New York right there, you pass the George Washington every single day, but you don't mm-hmm. understand the George Washington Bridge is there because it's called George Washington because he had to come up with an idea to slow down the British there. And the way he did that was he took these long trees, you know, imagine a telephone pole, but a long mm-hmm. tree like that with a sharp tip on it, and he put them on boats all the way across. And it was kind of like sticking out of the boat somewhat. And then he sunk the boats all the way across. So these big spikes are under the ground.
Oh, wow.
And in the bottom of the water, the Hudson. So when the ships were coming in, they started poking holes. At the same time, they're firing cannons off those mountains on the side over there. You can uh-huh. see where the cannons are when you're there. And it's called the George Washington Bridge because this one man stood. And so I want to encourage you, the original tenant of our own country, don't forget, this was not just a good idea, you know, that God honored the fight and the decision for this country, and we've been truly blessed, but we got to go back to the original intent. What was the original intent that God, that our founding fathers had for a country that God honored? And he honored the fact that that the man was going to be free, and they're going to be free to worship him, and that the First Amendment in the Constitution and you know, was the right to worship. And I'll top this off with this, and we'll close the segment out, is that so he all this bloodshed, all this death, all these things that took place that General Washington had to see, all the speeches he had to give to convince his troops, all the promises that Congress made that was all divided, they said that when he goes to get the pay for the troops to pay them for what they did, which is mm-hmm. to fight for our freedom and get our freedom, Congress said we didn't want to pay them. After all of that, I mean, there's so much. I'm just briefing. After all of that, Congress, because that's just like, okay, we mm-hmm. can relax. This has been an issue for a long time.
Yeah.
But they were all divided. You know, nobody was really yeah. united in the context of the United States of America because there wasn't one currency yet. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're looking at people wanting to get rid of our currency. That's what holds us together. The one language holds us together in the concepts of what we're doing. We can speak multiple languages, but we need to have one national language that holds us together there. And so with that, he didn't lose his cool. So he goes back and he tells his troops, he says, well, they're saying they're not going to pay us. And of course they said, because they've just come from massive mm-hmm. bloodshed, let's just go behead them. Let's go kill them. And so he calms them down. This is how awesome this dude is. Mm-hmm. He calms them down. He says, listen, he pulls a letter out of his lapel and he reads it to them and reminds them that they've committed to this. So let me go back. And so he went back and he began to reason with Congress because he believed that we should have the battlefield of ideas. You have to be able to present your understanding, what your thoughts are, what your vision is, and let people buy into it. And you need to present it precept upon precept, and that mm-hmm. if you can get enough people to understand that, then they will actually vote that way. Well, you had the particular governor of Georgia at that time, which was named after King George, by the way.
Oh, really?
Isn't that something? It wasn't a Georgia peach; it was King George. And he never showed up. He had more people. He wasn't that interested in Congress. It had no power. They couldn't vote for anything outside of him being there because he had so much of power in regards to the population. Mm-hmm. But George Washington, because here he is, he was willing to get on his horse and go all the way to Georgia to meet the governor of Georgia to begin to talk to him about showing up and convincing him. Long story short, he convinced him to show up. When he got there, he didn't know how it was going to go, but he kept on presenting his eyes. He stayed calm the whole time, and he delivered it, and the troops were paid. How many times would we thrown our hands up and said we would have given up? It's like, what am I doing? This is not. And this man, our first president of the United States, there's nobody like him in America. There's just nobody like him in America. And that we have to remember our original intent, the founding fathers, for example, George Washington. And so when it came time to choose a president for America, it was like a no-brainer. They were like, listen, they realized they owed so much to George Washington that there's nobody else but you to be president. And so with that, he became the first president of the United States. But he didn't do it because, hey, I want to be the president. He did it because, mm-hmm. I will serve my country.
Right.
And I just want to have that moment about, George Washington. So when you're looking at your dollar bills, I want you to look and realize that is the man that talked to the barefooted troops who was ready to end their enlistment, that he had to convince them to go to Trenton, only to be able to deal with the betrayal of Benedict Arnold, to be able to create a distraction for the British troops, to be able to sink boats, put poles up, to shoot cannons, to be able to stop them in the Hudson out there, while he's building a whole other attack plan coming the other way, only to get back to Congress, who sent these troops out in the first place, to tell them that they weren't going to pay him, and he didn't lose his cool. Mm. Think about it. He didn't lose his cool, and he gradually convinced him and did what he needed to do based on what he believed in our country. And what we got to believe again, because if we will rise up as a people and begin to be George Washington, mm-hmm. and we'll say, listen, we have a say-so. We can begin to persuade, as believers, people into our value system and realize that this and that those who have, righteous leaders are blessed, but those that have evil leaders, they say that cringe. Remember the sheriff in Jacksonville was telling us about, that's one of the things that he had ridden on that particular belief. But I just want to encourage you today that remember George Washington today. Think about that. As a matter of fact, let's be like George Washington. Let's be like George Washington. We'll be right back in a moment.
Wow, we just had a chance to hear about George Washington and some of the founding fathers. Pretty amazing, some of the things that George Washington had to overcome.
Yeah, that was totally amazing.
Yeah, totally amazing. So, we want to make sure that we just kind of continue to share some of these great things that have occurred. I know we're coming close to the end of the extra hour, the first hour, rather than going to the extra hour. But I did want to share that, George Washington, he was fighting for freedom for all people too. Mm-hmm. He was fighting for freedom for African Americans as well.
Right.
And so it's just an interesting history, and we're all learning in this process, but we're looking forward to finding out more.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com. Or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.